Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. To the one who seeks, they find. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I was glad to be invited to preach today. For you regulars at Zion, you'll know this is not the typical way I'm involved in a Sunday morning worship service. But God gave me a message to share earlier this summer at the Brethren Mennonite Heritage Center, and I was grateful to have the opportunity to share it with you today in this way. So I remember the first time I was asked to preach last year here at Zion. Public speaking is not something I do very often, but I was excited to be asked to share, and a topic came to mind right away. I certainly had some hesitation, though. I felt like God was calling me to do this, but there was no way I wanted to preach unless I was sure that that was what God wanted me to do. And there was no way I wanted to preach on the particular topic that came to mind unless I was really sure that that was what God wanted me to share. Because the thing that I felt like God was asking me to preach on was healing, and not just healing, but God's desire for us to be healed. If you'll recall, during that time, we were in the middle of a pandemic that is still happening, that's killing thousands of people. In addition to this, Irvin Stutzman, who was one of our interim pastors, had just received his advanced cancer diagnosis, a very serious diagnosis. And I was in the middle of treatment for my own advanced cancer. So the idea of healing seemed like something that should be handled by the professionals, someone who knew what they were doing, by experienced preachers and Bible scholars, and not by an amateur. So my prayer was, God, I'm willing to do this, but it sure would help me a lot if I had some type of sign from you that this is indeed what you want me to do. What I really wanted was someone to just like walk up and say, Sarah, you should preach about healing. I had invited Pastor Sarah to come over and talk about preaching, so I kind of understood what that was like and just discern with me about whether this was something I should do. And when I shared with Sarah, she came over, and when I shared with her the topic I had been thinking about, she said, wow, that's so interesting, because right before I came over here, the idea of healing came to mind. To me, that totally felt like God's answer to my request for a sign. And it even felt like someone coming up to me and saying, Sarah, you should preach about healing. So I was thankful that God had met me where I was. In my weakness, he provided the words and the wisdom, and he graciously provided the reassurance I needed to overcome my doubts and confidently follow where he was leading. I was grateful that God came near and met me in that particular way. Since the beginning of time, there has been many examples of times like this when God has met us, humans, right where we are, in the midst of our humanness. The Apostle Thomas certainly had an experience like this, but before we take a closer look at Thomas, I want us to also travel back a little farther and look at two other examples, the stories of Moses and of Gideon. Both of these men are written about in the Old Testament of the Bible, and both were called by God to save the Israelites from being captives. God called Moses to free his people from the Egyptians. Moses was going about his daily work when God met him in person and told him to go free the Israelites from their enslavement in Egypt. Moses was very reluctant to accept this mission. In fact, he asked God 5 times to call someone else. He just was not convinced that he was the right person for the job and needed God's assurance that he was. So God provided several signs to Moses and reassured him that he was indeed the one God was calling to complete this mission. But Moses still couldn't quite get over his fears, especially his fear of speaking to the Pharaoh of Egypt. So God met Moses again where he was and provided a companion to accompany Moses and speak for him. God would speak to Moses, and Moses would share the message with his brother Aaron, and Aaron would go and speak to the Pharaoh. God also appeared to Gideon while Gideon was going about his daily work. God appeared to Gideon in the form of a person who said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I could see Gideon kind of stopping and looking around and trying to figure out who this person was talking about or talking to, and can imagine Gideon saying, "I think maybe you've mistaken me for someone else. And by the way, if the Lord is with us, then why have we been suffering so much?" Gideon had questions and needed a sign that the message being delivered to him was indeed the message from God. Once he had signs, God gave him signs, and once he had a sign, he believed right away. But this belief and obedience didn't come without some doubts later on. After this particular encounter, Gideon obediently did what God asked him to do, including rallying an army to fight the Midianites. But before they went out to fight, Gideon was feeling very nervous about this whole situation. So here's what happened. This is from Judges 6, 36 to 40. Gideon said to God, "If this is right, if you are using me to save Israel of you as you have said, then look, I'm placing a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If dew is on the fleece only, but the floor is dry, then I will know you will use me to save Israel as you have said." And that's what happened. When he got up early the next morning, he wrung out the fleece, and there was enough dew to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, "Don't be impatient with me, but let me say one more thing. I want to try another time with the fleece. But this time, let the fleece stay dry while the dew drenches the ground." And God made it happen that very night. Only the fleece was dry while the ground was wet with dew. Gideon was nervous. He needed some reassurance. Gideon's heart was turned towards God. His desire was to do God's will, but his human self kept him from having the confidence and reassurance that he needed. And so he asked. He was seeking and he was knocking. He couldn't get to the place of confidence on his own. So God met Gideon right where he was. God didn't rebuke Gideon for not believing. He walked with Gideon and gave him the assurance he was looking for, in order for Gideon to get over his own humanness and confidently take the leap of faith that he was wanting to take. In all of these examples so far, we see God meeting each person where they are. In our humanness, doubt, and fear, God comes near and gives us the reassurance and the tools we need to do what God is calling us to do. The most significant way that God has met us right where we are is certainly through sending Jesus to earth. God came to us and met us in human form. He experienced all the emotions and things we experience. And while Jesus was on earth, he was accused of hanging out with the wrong crowd. He made himself available to those who were outcast. But he didn't just make himself available, he met them where they were, in their homes, where they spent time in their day-to-day lives. God came near to them, and God comes near to us through Jesus. And many people during Jesus' time on earth found themselves grateful for his presence with them. And that's where we can turn to the story of Thomas that we heard earlier. Thomas was one of Jesus' disciples, which means he was one of the few people Jesus specifically chose to share his life and ministry with. Thomas was a devoted, loyal, and courageous follower of Jesus. This was evident one time when Jesus told his disciples where they would be going next, the next town or area that they would be traveling to, which happened to be a place where people had tried to kill Jesus previously. So most of the apostles thought this was a very bad idea and did not want to go there. Thomas is the one who enthusiastically rallied the apostles, saying, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Later on, after Jesus was killed on the cross, the disciples were terrified, likely afraid for their own lives. And so they huddled together in a locked room, away from the chaos and the danger. These were the very people Jesus had called, not only to share his life with him, but to spread the good news of Jesus to the world. They were scared and didn't know what to do. And so God met them where they were. He appeared with them in the flesh in the locked room where they were staying. What excitement and encouragement we see that the disciples had because God met them in that way. But Thomas wasn't with them this time when the other disciples encountered Jesus in this way. And when he heard the other disciples' claims that Jesus appeared to them in the flesh, he just couldn't quite bring himself to believe it. Hearing an eyewitness account from others who were so close to Jesus wasn't enough for Thomas's mind and heart to believe that what he was hearing. He needed to see Jesus for himself in the flesh before his mind and heart could comprehend that Jesus was no longer dead. Thomas is often referred to as doubting Thomas because of this. And when I hear this term, it provokes a negative feeling in me. I don't know about you, but for me, it makes it feel like a negative thing, like Thomas was doing something wrong in this story. William Barclay, in his commentary, presents Thomas in a different way, which I find a little bit refreshing. Barclay says, Thomas absolutely refused to say that he understood what he did not understand, or that he believed what he did not believe. There is an uncompromising honesty about him. Barclay goes on to say, there is more ultimate faith in the one who insists on being sure than in the one who glibly repeats things which they have never thought out and which they may not really believe. It is doubt like this which in the end arrives at certainty. So maybe instead of doubting Thomas, we could refer to him as honest Thomas. Or maybe our focus in this story should really be on Jesus. The Bible, after all, is the story of God. That is the lens through which we should be reading the Bible. As we read the Bible and hear Bible stories, we can ask ourselves, what does this teach me about God? And when we look at the story of Thomas through this particular lens, I think it shows us a really special picture of God. Thomas said, unless I see. And so Jesus, who meets people where they are, came to the disciples a second time, this time when Thomas was present with them. And when Jesus was with them, he specifically turned to Thomas and interacted with Thomas in the way that Jesus knew would allow Thomas to believe in Jesus' resurrection. Jesus met Thomas where he was, both physically and mentally. Thomas was a faithful follower of Jesus. But he had a hard time believing that Jesus rose from the dead without having some sort of proof. He needed that personal encounter in order to believe. Jesus knew it, and so he showed up, providing exactly what it was Thomas needed in order for him to believe and proclaim, "My Lord and my God." So the stories we've looked at so far show God providing some sort of sign in order for doubts to be relieved, in order for us to fully accept something as being possible. But what about times when we are experiencing a crisis, or when we are just trying to make it one day at a time? What happens when we don't have the words to ask? Or what happens when we don't have the strength to get up and go out seeking? What happens when we don't have the energy to make it to the door and knock? In times like this, when the world feels like it's falling apart around us and we don't have the strength to ask, seek, and knock, God provides two very special things for us. The Holy Spirit is one, and the community of believers is another. I'm reminded of the story of the paralyzed man from Mark chapter 2. There was a man who was paralyzed, and his friends really wanted to get him to Jesus because they knew that Jesus could heal him. This man could not get himself to Jesus, so his friends picked him up and carried him to where Jesus was. Not only that, but when they arrived, there was no room to get into the house where Jesus was. They couldn't squeeze through the crowds and get to Jesus in the conventional way. So they tried a different approach. They were persistent, and they went up to the rooftop and dug a hole in the roof so that they could lower their friend right to Jesus' feet. Have you ever felt like this paralyzed man? Have you ever been at a point in your life when you just couldn't get yourself to Jesus, even though you knew Jesus could be the source of your healing and strength? I know I have been there, and I know that some of you have too. The story of the paralyzed man became really special to me about 8 or 9 years ago when I was in the midst of a mental health crisis. And when I was at my lowest point, I knew I needed to get myself to God, but I just couldn't get myself there. I couldn't pray for myself. I was just trying to go through each day at a time. And so I made the decision to be transparent with you all, with my Zion family, and ask you to pray for me. And boy, did you carry me. You dug a hole in the roof and lowered me right in the house where Jesus was. And I was able to experience hope and healing because of that. In addition to community support, there are often times when God meets us through the Holy Spirit. We can experience this when we are prompted in our spirit to pray for someone else or for some situation in the world. As you know, Lori Weaver was recently diagnosed with melanoma. Steve and I had the opportunity to spend time with Lori and Neil soon after Lori's diagnosis. One of the things that stood out to me from our conversation was the way God was caring for Lori and Neil. Lori told us how several friends of hers had called or stopped by their house to check in on her in the week or so after her diagnosis, before they even had heard the news of her cancer diagnosis. The Holy Spirit was active and at work, prompting people to check in with Lori and pray for her, even before they knew why. What a beautiful example of God meeting us where we are. So my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to ask. You will receive. You don't have to use flowery language to ask. You don't need to have just the right words to ask. Just ask. God, who knows your heart, will meet you where you are, fumbling words and all. Seek, you will find. You don't have to wait to seek until you have an X marks the spot on your map. You don't need the right gear to go out hiking and searching. Just begin seeking. God, who knows your heart, will meet you where you are, even if you are on a rocky trail far from the mark. Knock, the door will be open for you. You don't have to get all dressed up before going to God's door. You don't need to use the door knocker or the doorbell or the right knocking pattern in order for the door to be opened. Just knock, and God, who knows your heart, will hear you. However you knock, he will meet you at the door. And for those times when you need help asking, seeking, and knocking, know that God will even meet you there, providing the Holy Spirit and providing your community to do the asking, the seeking, and the knocking on your behalf. Amen. I asked Joel, my friend Joel Ross, if he would come and play a song that him and I played together recently at Lindale Mennonite Church called Doubting Thomas by Nickel Creek. I thought it might be a good reflection song for us following the message that God had for us. So I hope you enjoy this as kind of our song of response.
Drawn my last breath, besides the folks I've met and the folks who know me. Will I discover a soul-saving love, or just the dirt above and below me? I'm a doubting Thomas. Sometimes decipher the signs. Please forgive me for time that I've wasted. I'm a doubting Thomas. Take your part.